We are not cops ranging over the realm of social media and solving the world's ills. Our sole job is to hold this extremely powerful corporation, Facebook, accountable for making clear, consistent, and transparent decisions.
On Wednesday, Facebook's oversight board ruled to uphold the social network's suspension of former President Donald Trump with a few important caveats. You might remember that Facebook kicked him off the platform earlier this year following his incitement of the January 6th storming of the Capitol. The Facebook Oversight Board is an independent group made up of journalists, activists, and academics, and it evaluates what Facebook does with content. Since January, the board's overturned 4 out of 5 content decisions by Facebook. And while the board agreed with Facebook's initial decision to suspend Trump, the ban isn't necessarily permanent because the board more or less kicked the ball back to Facebook for them to figure out when or if Trump can return and what exactly should happen with politicians and public figures on the platform.
Indefinite penalties of this sort do not pass the international or American smell test for clarity, consistency, and transparency.
That's Michael McConnell, co-chair of the board, speaking on Wednesday. And since Facebook is a private company, they can decide what types of content or speech to allow or reject. This case has big implications for the future of online speech, especially with more cases like these that will continue to arise around the world. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, host of What Next TBD from Slate, and I'm in for Tanzina Vega. We are breaking down Facebook and the former president and what this case means, and it's where we start today on The Takeaway. For more on this, we're joined now by Evelyn Dueck, a lecturer at Harvard Law School and affiliate at the Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society. Evelyn, good to talk to you.
Great to be here.
And also Cecilia Kang, technology reporter at The New York Times and co-author of An Ugly Truth, Inside Facebook's Battle for Domination. Cecilia, nice to talk to you as well.
Nice to be here, Lizzie.
Cecilia, I'm going to start with you. Just remind us why Facebook banned Donald Trump from its platform in the first place and how they justified that.
Right. So we have to go back to January 6th, the day of the Capitol riots. And there were 2 posts that former President Trump put on Facebook and Instagram. One was a video and one was a statement where he called the rioters great patriots and he again denied the results of the election. This is a very heated time. This was during the election, the Capitol riots. Facebook decided that those 2 posts violated their own internal rules against content that incites violence. And they took down the posts. And the day later, on January 7th, they actually blocked or banned Trump from his account. And said that until at least the inauguration, that he should not be allowed back onto either of those apps because of the company's concern over the peaceful transition of governments and that the president could further incite violence and disrupt that process.
Evelyn, Facebook's independent oversight board upheld the suspension, but kind of tossed it back at Facebook to make its own decision about Trump in 6 months. Can you explain what the board is supposed to be doing anyway and how you would describe what they did in this instance?
So the board's a really interesting and weird institution. It's something that Facebook set up all by itself to do, you know, exactly this kind of thing of reviewing really hard decisions that Facebook has to make or controversial decisions and be an independent check on otherwise what is basically Facebook's power to do whatever it wants. And in particular, Mark Zuckerberg's power to just sort of make these huge decisions, like to kick off the then sitting president of the United States from one of the most, you know, important ways in which he communicates with his followers. So yesterday, the board took this decision, and basically the only thing that it definitively said was, yes, on January 7, you did the right thing in removing the account. But as you said, it kind of kicked the ball back to Facebook on essentially every other question. It said, but you can't just indefinitely suspend him. What does indefinite even mean? That's not a fair thing to tell someone. It doesn't sort of comply with the way we think about giving people certainty in the law. And so it said, you know, you have 6 months to work out what to do now and to come up with a policy on how you might deal with this kind of situation in the future.
The board is this group of 20 people, journalists, academics, the former prime minister of Denmark, and they have, Cecilia, sort of given this power back to Mark Zuckerberg. Is this just something that Zuckerberg's going to have to make a call on?
Essentially, that's right. And it's the sort of great irony is that Mark Zuckerberg set up this oversight board. He conceived the idea a few years ago because he didn't want to have to make these kinds of big decisions. He said that Facebook should not have to make these kinds of big decisions. And you can imagine why, because it's enormously that there's such a huge responsibility. And also, you don't really win in many ways when you're held liable or responsible for these kinds of decisions, held responsible. So he set up the board saying, or he conceived of the board to have a third independent body. But let's be like clear. This is a third party body that he has analogized to like a Supreme Court type of system, or sort of board or panel. But this was conceived by Facebook. It was set up by Facebook. It is funded by Facebook, though, through a third party trust. The initial board members were selected by Facebook, and Facebook had a say on all of the board members that were thereafter selected. So there's always been questions about independence. I think that the board itself points to a few things to show that it is independent. But what the board did yesterday, which was quite extraordinary, was they said, "Listen, you know, Facebook, you want us to make the final call on Trump. Trump has been a real problem for you throughout Trump's administration, as well as after his tenure." And the board said, "You cannot shirk that responsibility." One quote that really stood out to me, they said, "In applying a vague, standardless penalty and then referring this case to the board to resolve, Facebook seeks to avoid its responsibility." So the board is essentially saying, you can't ask us to make the final call when you don't have clear guidelines for how you made that call in the first place, this indefinite ban. So we're sending it back to you," which is exactly what Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook did not want to happen.
Evelyn, I think one thing that's really important here is that obviously we're talking about Donald Trump, but that this isn't just about Donald Trump, but really setting a standard for what Donald Trump, Bolsonaro, Narendra Modi, or any world leader or important person can say on Facebook.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. It's something that often gets lost in these conversations. You know, Donald Trump is the black hole to which all of our attention is attracted. But this is a really important decision to my mind, the most important part of this decision is for what it says, exactly as you said, for world leaders all around the world. And that's not just today. It's not just Bolsonaro or Duterte or Modi, as you're quite right to mention, but it's every world leader sort of from now into the future, as long as Facebook has this policy that it will write in the coming months. And, you know, as long as there's world leaders on Facebook, there will be world leaders who manipulate and use Facebook for nefarious ends. And we need to work out what to do with this problem.
Cecilia, in the U.S., there's been a pretty harsh conservative backlash. What do you think happens with that?
Yeah, I think this just further angers a lot of Republicans in particular about Facebook's handling of the former president. They point to this ban as evidence. And you know, to be sure, Twitter has permanently banned Trump as well. YouTube has indefinitely banned Trump from its site, though it says that he will come back on without any guidelines on when that might be, except to say that they will do so when it's safe to do so. So these bans on Trump, in the minds of many conservative lawmakers in the U.S., is evidence that there is an alleged anti-conservative bias by these companies and these platforms. They say that they favor more progressive or left-leaning lawmakers. So they point to this as censorship. in their mind. And so,
though we should note that studies have found no such bias.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this, but this is a battle cry that continues, and it's gotten louder. Yesterday, we heard a lot of lawmakers speak out. And I think the way you're going to see that play out is these lawmakers are going to really focus on the power of technology companies. And they are going to threaten, for example, antitrust action against these companies, saying that these social media platforms have too much power over speech. They should not be the gatekeepers of speech. So we need to look at the dominance and power that these companies hold and see whether they should be broken up or in any other way lessened in terms of their influence and dominance.
Evelyn, I want you to take apart this question of power and speech, because these are private companies. They can decide who says what on their platforms. They are not, you know, the government. They don't fall under First Amendment sort of rules in the same way. But they do have an extraordinary amount of power. I wonder if we have reached a point as a society where these platforms are too powerful and what to do with that.
Yeah, I think no one really knows what to do with that, to be honest. They're kind of this weird thing that we haven't really seen before. You're quite right to say they're not governments, and we shouldn't hold them to governmental standards in what speech they do or do not allow. And currently under the law, they have complete discretion to do what they want. But that feels like a very unsatisfactory situation, because they are really important forums, and they do dramatically influence politics, culture. So many things about modern life happen on Facebook and these other platforms. And so how do we think about that? You know, I think this sort of both sides of the aisle have different views at different times, depending on particular decisions as to whether they are just private companies and they should be allowed to do whatever they want, or whether they are too powerful and we need to rein them in so they can't make these decisions on such a whim. And I think, you know, the answer is, you know, we do need to think about that. Whether antitrust can solve this problem, honestly, I'm not sure that it does. I think that there may be very good independent reasons to take antitrust action. But to my mind, Twitter is a good example of why that's not going to solve our problems. Twitter is a pretty small company in many respects. I don't really know how you would split up Twitter, but it really is still extremely important, the decisions that it makes.
Cecilia, quickly, are we back here 6 months from now having this conversation again?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to put it on my calendar, Lizzie. We're going to be talking exactly about this. This is Facebook has 6 months to make its own decision on Trump and to justify and explain why it did so, and explain how it deals with political speech and political leaders on its platform. And we're going to be hashing out the same sort of questions in many ways. And it'll be a real question as to what the board's future is at that point going forward.
Cecilia Kang is a tech reporter for The New York Times and co-author of An Ugly Truth, Inside Facebook's Battle for Domination. And Evelyn Duak is a lecturer at Harvard Law School. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks so much.
And hey, make sure you go check out my day job podcast, Slate's What Next TBD, because we're talking about Facebook and how this decision around Trump might actually change the way you and I use the platform as well.